الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: خير قرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram and all those who are listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very easy, simple, perfect deen to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran Kareem, last kitab of Allah, Islam, last shariat of Islam. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, last Nabi and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sent for the hidayat of mankind. We have been discussing from this platform the sources of Sharia, or the sources of argumentation. If you are to prove something in Shariat, then we utilize Quran, Sunnah, Ijma and Qiyas. And we have been discussing about the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, when we discuss the Sunnah, we have to discuss the opposite of the Sunnah, and that is innovations, bidah. Everything has got opposites. For example, you have positive, then you have negative. You have good, you have bad. You have truth, you have falsehood. You have color differences, opposite colors. You've got shirk on one side, that is ascribing partners to Allah. Opposite of shirk is tawheed. And the opposite of kufr is Islam. Remember, the opposite of kufr is not tawheed. The opposite of shirk is tawheed. The opposite of Islam is kufr. Kufr is denial, rejection. And Islam is acceptance, submission. And the opposite of the blessed sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bidah, is innovation. Because in the light of Sharia, every time people invent and act upon bidah, the nuraniyat, the celestial light and blessing of sunnah goes away. First of all, what is bidah? Bidah is, technically speaking, as far as the vocabulary and dictionary is concerned, something that is new, something that has been invented, something that is innovative. Now this could apply generally across the board, easily understood like technological advancement. Few years ago you did not have cell phones, and now you got cell phones. So that is now, technologically speaking, an innovation, something new. And now you got advancement inside the cell phone, which can do many other things. You can record, you can now take photographs, you can video. So every time there is a new invention or adding to the invention, so that is a additional innovation upon an innovation. So anything new, basically. As far as Sharia is concerned now, because that concerns us, What is the innovation? What is a bidah? Various definitions have been given. Because the definition will have to be based upon your sources of deduction. How can you prove something? And when you cannot prove it in Sharia, then that becomes an innovation. Any belief or action which cannot be proven from the sources of Sharia, the primary sources of Sharia, that is the Quran and the Sunnah, will tantamount to become an innovation. That means any action or belief which you cannot prove from the Quran and Sunnah will eventually end up to become an innovation, a bidah. Hadith I recited before you, every Friday you hear it too. خَيْرَ قُرُونِ كَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That the best, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the best of times is my time. And then the subsequent one, and then the subsequent one. Mashhur laha bir khair. That's the Arabic terminology for that. That period, or that time, which is full of goodness and blessing, if we cannot get an action done there, then that action is an innovation. And the speciality about an act which people want to innovate and do it, the special characteristic of it is they do it thinking they're getting a reward for this. Now that is the bottom line. The action is done on the premises, on the basis that we are doing the action. Why? Because there is some reward attached to it. Now this hadith, I also understand it. It's saying that the best of times is my time. Now does this hadith refer to the time or the people of the time? Understand clearly, the hadith refers to the people of the time. Because in the خَيْرَ قُرُونِ كَرْنِي, that's his time, the time of the Sahaba. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, that's the time of the Tabi'ins. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, that's the time of the Tabi' Tabi'ins. And during the times of the Tabi' Tabi'ins, you had some vicious people there. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, etc. So that means their actions, and the Karbala also took place prior to that. So all those people who are not good, their actions do not come under the preview of this hadith. All the good people in those times, their actions become a basis of Sharia. The good, the pious, the righteous, the knowledgeable, the reliable, those who are authorities, and those who are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not the tyrants, the oppressors, and not the evil ones, and the evil livers, and the transgressors, and the disobedient ones, not those. So understand fully first, that this hadith is referring to the good people of that times. So now, when we look at the actions of the good people, of the tabi'ins and the tabi'at tabi'ins, then if they did something, it becomes a proof in Sharia. And if they did not do it, it's not part of Sharia. That is why the very beautiful statement, Mashhur Laha Bil Khair, that period of time which is famous and wherein it is loaded with goodness. Any action in Sharia, you as an individual, as a Muslim, you are fully entitled to find out, why must I do it? Now, as I told you, that the innovator, the person who is innovating, he thinks I'm doing this action, and this action is bringing me a reward, goodness, khair, barakah, blessing, proximity to Allah, nearness to Allah. That's why he's doing the action. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, that the innovator is deprived from seeking forgiveness. The innovator is deprived from seeking forgiveness. And the reason is why? Because in his mind, far as he is concerned, what I am doing is part of Sharia. What I am doing is part of Deen. And what I am doing is getting me near to Allah. And what I am doing is getting me close to Allah. That is why he does not want to repent. Because what he feels, the action that I am doing, or the belief that I am holding, that is part of Sharia. That is why he does not want to repent. No matter how much of proof you bring to him, no matter how much of academic proof you bring, he does not want to repent. There are certain principles. You have to understand them. Deen is for understanding. Deen is easy. Deen is simple. Deen is perfect. Deen is complete. Now how can you make out that this is an act of innovation or this is an act which I should act upon? As a person not academically geared up, how can you can assess that this, must I do it or must I leave it out? So there are certain guidelines I'll present to you. And you use these guidelines and check for yourself. These guidelines, obviously, great ulama have written about them. We are just narrating and explaining. Number one, there are two words, dawam and iltizam. Dawam means a person individually, he takes a optional act and he makes it compulsory upon himself. To read Quran is optional. To make nafil salat is optional. To stand for tahajjud is optional. Now this person, what he does, he says, no, I will read one para of Quran every day. As long as he does that, Sharia likes it. Sharia approves of it. And Sharia will say, do it. And Sharia will say, you're getting a lot of reward, tremendous sawab. But no sooner that person, he tells another one. He says, see, I'm reading one para, you also read one para. First of all, he got no right to do this. Because who told him to tell another person, you also read one para? And he is taking something that is optional and making it wajib. That's another difficulty. He is making iltizam now. And if he himself also feels this optional action is wajib upon me, then that also becomes innovation. So you see here what's happening. This optional action, when he puts it onto someone else, this optional action when he thinks it is wajib, and this optional action when he wants to spread it and make it compulsory upon other people, becomes innovative. Number two, Shariat, when we look at it nicely, we come to realize there are certain actions to be done at certain times and places. Certain actions we do, and Sharia has told us, do it at a certain time. Give you an example. That Durood Sharif we read in the Qaeda Akhira in Salah. In the 4 rakat Salah, in the last sitting, we read the Durood after At-Tahiyyat. What happens, you say, no, Durood is very good. Durood is rewarding. And Durood brings a lot of sawab. And Durood brings mercy and closeness to Allah. I won't do it in the last. I will do it after 2 rakats. What happens then? Anybody? Respected elders, you have taken it. It's supposed to be done on the 4th rakat. After the At-Tahiyyat, you say, no, I'll do it after the 2 rakat. Ulama say that if you do it, you have to make sijda sahw. Otherwise, your salat is not valid. Why? Because you have taken it off the position. Wait, the position was, you took it off and you brought it ahead. Sharia has said, do this now. For example, what happens if you say, no, I will read while I'm standing, Surah Fatiha and Surah, I'll read At-Tahiyyat and Durood Ibrahim and Dua. What do you think of that? Any person will say, this is wrong, this is innovative. Why? Because one thing which was set for a place, you moved it. One Sahabi, Salim bin Ubaid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one person sneezed in front of him. Sneezed in front of him and said that, Assalamu alaikum. Hazrat Salim said that. What do you say? What are you saying? He said, don't say this. He said, exactly what you did. I saw a person sneeze before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say that. Say alhamdulillah. And then the person who is listening, yarhamukullah and yahdikumullah, all that in sequence. So why? Although to say assalamu alaikum is good, rewarding, but it has got a place. So certain action for a certain place. See, we have azan. We have azan for 5 times salat. And then we have got azan for Jummah salat. Then we also got azan, what do you think, for janazah, isn't it? Then we got azan, what do you think, for Eid salat. Then we got azan for salat of istisqa, rain. Then you think we got azan for kusuf. Azan for eclipse. You know when we make salat for eclipse. So have we got azan there? We don't have azan for Taraweeh salah. No special azan for Taraweeh salah. We don't have azan for Eid. We don't have azan for janazah. We don't have azan for the eclipse or for rain salah. What happens? The person says, no, I use my ijtihad. I use my brains. And say, no, no, azan is very good. And azan is for calling. And the purpose is for pronouncing an announcement. So why we must not call for salat janazah? Keep azan for that also. Oh, each salat, we must give azan for calling the people. Say, no. Shariat has prescribed no azan for Eid. We're not doing it. Shariat has prescribed no azan for janazah. We're not doing it. Shariat has prescribed no azan for eclipse and rain. We're not doing it. Then we get certain people say, no, no. After you bury the dead, because azan, when you call azan, according to the hadith, shaitan runs away. When he hears the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan runs. So the person says, no, that when you bury the dead, then give out azan, call azan. They do this in certain parts of the world. They call azan. I say, why are you doing this? They say, no, to chase the shaitan away. No. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba never do it, Tabi'in never do it. Some people say, no, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says you should do it. Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi says that's completely erroneous. He never say do that. Then the logic, they say, no, we should do it. Why? You chase shaitan away. So who you are to chase shaitan away? From the living person or the dead person? When the person is dead, his amal is closed. Everything is closed, sealed. So shaitan is supposed to be changed. You chase shaitan from the living person. Keep him shaitan away from the living, not from the dead. The dead, he's over. His history now is, all his amal is closed. If you were to call azan, what's to help the dead person? Now, respected elders, another example. See, musafaha and mu'anika. That to shake hands and to embrace. Shariat has said that you do this when you meet after a long time. When you meet after a long time, then do this. So that it creates love, muhabbat, brotherhood, all those things. The person says, no, no. That after every salah, in certain parts of the world, they say, after every salah, you want to shake hands. Shariat has said, no, don't do this. Why? It's an innovation. Sahaba never do it. Tabi'is never do it. And especially to do it after Asr and Fajr, that is the Shia, that is the sign of Shiaism. The Shias do that. Now, other people want to also do this. They say, no, let us shake hand. Now, Eid time you want to shake hand. Why only Eid time you want to shake hand in Mu'anika? Why only Eid time you want to seek forgiveness? Why not before that? Every day in the life of a Muslim is important, auspicious, noble. You should not be waiting. You should not be fighting with any person according to the hadith for more than 3 days. So you wait for 300 days and later when he comes Eid, then you want to seek forgiveness. So what we're saying, certain actions have to be done at certain times. That's another principle. Now, respected elders, take another principle. That which the Shariat of Islam, that which the Shariat of Islam has not put any restrictions upon, we put no restrictions upon. That which the Shariat of Islam has not put any quyudat, no restrictions, no limitations, no specifications, we also put no specifications, no limitations. Example. See, to visit the graveyard is permissible, is laudable, rewardable. To visit the inmates of the grave creates remembrance of death, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected elders, a person says, no, I will only go and visit the graveyard, and he specifies times now. He will say, I will only go Eid day. Not proven, by the way, to go to Kabistan on Eid day. Oh, I will go Shab-e Barat. Also, that is not proven as part of Sunnah to go to graveyard there. Also, a person says, no, I will only go on Fridays. That hadith relating to the visiting of graves on Fridays will classify a disobedient son, make him obedient one, is not very strong. So you cannot specify what Shariat has left open, you leave it open also. When it has left it open-ended, we leave it open-ended also. That means you can go to the graveyard, visit any time. The rule, when Shariat has not specified, you don't specify. See, Isa alayhi sawab. Isa alayhi sawab means that you read some Quran, or you do a virtuous act, or you do some act of charity, or you do an optional action, or according to Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, it has to be a good action. You do an action which has got value, but not a farz, or obligatory, or wajib. It has to be optional in jurisprudic status. And then you say, Ya Allah, I've done this action, give the sawab to so and so. Give the sawab to so and so. Give the sawab to so and so can be living and the dead. Many people feel you cannot make Isa alayhi sawab for the living. You can do it for the living and the dead. Now, when Shariat has said Isa alayhi sawab is permissible and put no time to it, we cannot specify time to it. We cannot say now, you have to do it during this time. Certain people say no, that only certain times we must do it. What happens? That then the innovation starts. No, I will have to make Isa alayhi sawab after 3 days, after 7 days, after 10 days, after 40 days, after half year, after 1 year. So that which is not specified, you're specifying it. When Shariat has said you can just sit in your house and make that Isa alayhi sawab, read Quran and pass it on to the person who has passed away, then you put the unnecessary difficulty upon yourself. And what I said, Shariat is complete, Shariat is easy, Shariat is perfect. And now you, or I, if we decide that no, I want to specify this, 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, 40 days, and when we look at this carefully, we should not be upset. Look at it carefully. That the Hindus have got a thing called transmigration of souls. They believe in a thing called, when a person dies, then his soul begins to float and move around. And they say at 3 days it reaches a certain level, 7 days certain level, 10 days certain level, 40 days certain level. So actually, this is nothing to do with Islam. It's a Hinduistic concept that has come inside. So respected elders, that which is left open-ended, we leave it open-ended. Now remember, another thing. For example, Shariat has said that Zuhur and Asr, we read silently, inaudibly. And Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, loudly. You say, no. The reason why Zuhur and Asr was read softly, and you give certain reasons for it. And then you say, no, those reasons are no more in existence now. Therefore, we should make ijtihad and say, no, now we will make all our salats loudly. We got so-called freedom of religion, freedom of practice of deen, and now we got no fear of kufar and mushriks, and we got no fear of the Quraysh, and we got no fear of the vicious, rebellious Meccans. Now we can make our salat loudly all the time. What do you think of that person? Why? Sharia has said, do it softly. Principle, yeah. When Sharia has said that do certain acts silently, softly, or do it in a particular manner, then we will say, yes, let's do it that way. After Salat, we make dua. Now if a person says, no, now you must make that dua very loudly all the time. Or if a person says, after the nafil, you must also make one dua. And then after the sunnah, another dua. So after the farz dua, after the sunnah dua, after the nafil dua, and all in congregation, all loudly, you say, where is this proven in Sharia? Where it has been proven in Sharia that we have to do all these things, when it is not proven, and Sharia has left it to us. Because remember, for example, after the farz salat, when the imam gives the salam, then the muqtadi is free now. He has reached the destination. The imam is our engine. The imam is our engine, and we are the coaches. And he is taking us from point A to B. And he starts with takbir, tahrima, takbir, ula from point A, and he comes to point B and says the salam. When he comes by the salam, when you reach your destination, then you come off. You're out. Similarly, the imam, when he comes to the salam, then you can do whatever you want to. You can sit up, you can go away. You can sit down, make dua. You can join him in his dua. You are free. Because you have reached the destination. His responsibility as the engine is over. Now to insist and start in areas you will get, and when you travel the world, you see that after the farz salat, there is a lot of congregational sounds going on. Raising your voices. You don't have to travel far. In our own country you find these things. There are a lot of raising of voices. Absolutely not proven. Similarly, understand something. Another principle. That Sharia has told us to do certain things. When there is what we call ta'addi. Ta'addi is falling. Sharia has said you must come for Salat with Jama'ah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that if I had the youngsters, gather the youngsters and gather wood, and all those who are making salah in their homes, I will set their homes alight. He found one young person not in the Fajr salah. When he was going to the bazaar, he should go every day to the bazaar to see the merchants are transacting according to Sharia law. Like what happens if someone has to go around and see whether our merchants are transacting according to Sharia law? What will happen then? How many businesses will have to close? That's another subject. So en route, he passed that home and he asked that youngster's mother, what happened to your son? Why he never come to Fajr Jama? He said, whole night. He did not miss the Fajr. Whole night he was making tahajjud. And then he fell asleep. But he got up for his Fajr and he made his Fajr at home. So he advises her. He says, better for him that he makes his Fajr with Jama'at than to stand whole life in Ibadah. So what is insisting in Jama'at? So any action in Sharia that has not been proven, you have to do it ijtima'i, congregational. We don't have to do it congregational. Now the tendency is what also? That we must make etiquette congregational, not proven in Islam, respected elders. And as you know, that our stand is very clear, that whether you do it loud or softly, congregational in the masjid, that's an innovation. May Allah grant us the ability to understand this deed. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.